So this summer, we've been having the conversation of what it means to kind of have a DNA of a church or to be who we are in the church. We've talked about how we want to live a life of worship, that each and every day of our life, we should be a living sacrifice unto God, that we can experience his love, that we may share his love and truly be what Romans 12 calls us to be, a living sacrifice, a perfect worship unto the Father. From there, we moved into that we'll live a life in prayer, because without prayer in our life, without a living conversation with God, how do we know what his will is for us? How do we share and what his call upon our life is? How do we see how he acts around us or in us or through us? And so we must be in prayer. Well, today we're going to continue to build that DNA structure of who we are as a church body. And we're going to add on mission. So we will live a life of worship in prayer on mission. But I think when we think about mission, we're so used to going into businesses or stores and seeing their mission statement on there. We're here to provide perfect service to you. It gives you kind of an idea of what supposedly is supposed to be their DNA or their makeup or how they're going about doing their thing in the world. In the military, we talk about mission all the time. Police forces put it on the side of their squad cars to serve and to protect, to build a stronger community, to provide safety, right? We see mission all the time, but in Christianity, I think we've kind of lost an understanding of what it is, because when we think about mission in Christianity, what's the first thing you think about? Give me some answers. Disciple, yeah, my son. International, right? We think about going to foreign countries, it pops up. We think about traveling to someplace else. We think about all these other things that we're not doing because it's just not what I'm called to do. And we forget that mission has nothing to do about where you go. It's what you do when you get there, no matter where you're found. The mission is more than a trip. It's more than going and handing out something. It is truly the thing that you do that impacts the heart of wherever you find yourself. And that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to kind of do things a little bit backwards today. We're not going to stand right away for Scripture. We're going to hit some points, and then we're going to culminate at the end of it. So please just be patient with me. I'll call you to rise when we're there. But if you turn to Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, it reads, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." See, this is the first call to mission that we get. It's Jesus Christ speaking to those that are in his presence. And what he's talking about is to go and do something, right? Pretty clear. And we're going to talk about that here in a few seconds. But that's the first place we see Jesus giving us a direct call. But it's not the first place in Scripture or in the history of those who believe in God the Father, the creator of heaven and earth, the mission. If we go to Psalm 96, verse 3, "Declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among the people." Here we have, back in the Old Testament, a call to glorify God to all the people, all the nations. It starts out in Psalm 96, "Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day and declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among all peoples." Years and years and years before Jesus comes and gives us, the people of Israel are already being told to declare God's glory throughout. In fact, that's why they were sanctified. That's why they were set aside, was so that they could be a living testimony to the love, to the safety, to the provision that God provided. Now if we turn to Acts 1:8, we get a little bit more direct time with Jesus. He says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and into all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." So we didn't just get the call to mission once from Jesus Christ, but he shares it twice. To go and take the gospel and spread it wherever we go. So the call to mission, the call to go and do what Christ is talking about here, what God had commanded the Israelites to be in their everyday life, is an age-old call upon our hearts. And it should dwell within us. It should fuel us. It should be the kind of understanding of what our purpose is. We talk about that on August 5th. We're going to be having a message about what it means to have purpose in life and to be driven by it. But the question that we have then is what is mission? We understand there's a call to go to mission, but mission isn't just something a few people go out and do. Mission is something that is part of our heart. So we return to Matthew 28:19, and we're going to read it again, even though we just read it. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Now if we turn to Matthew 24, just a few pages before, verse 14 reads, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. This is towards the end of Jesus' comments about end times and what is to come, and he's giving them an understanding that the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations and to the ends, and then the end will come. And then we return back to Acts 1, verse 8. And yes, we're going to read that one again also. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, which means locally, and in all Judea, so like regionally, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So what he's talking about in this section is to Jerusalem, like Portage, Columbia County. And then to Judea, like Wisconsin. Samaria, United States. States around us, all those areas around us. And then to the ends of the earth, which pretty much covers the rest of it. Now if we turn to Revelations 14, 6 and 7. We read, then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, and saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and springs of water. From these four verses, we can start to understand clearly what mission is. In Matthew 28, verse 19, we hear the command to go and make disciples. Making a disciple isn't simply getting a profession of faith that, yes, I believe that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. Making a disciple is approaching someone and calling them to follow Christ forever. To dedicate their lives like he did with his disciples as he saw them and invited them to follow him. To study him, to learn who he was and what he was talking about on a regular basis. See, disciples aren't simply believers of Jesus Christ. They are followers of Jesus Christ, and they're willing to pay whatever the price is to do so. The persecution that may come, the name calling that may come from it. That is our mission. To not simply bring people to a confession of faith, but to, after they do so, help them become a disciple, a follower of Jesus Christ. It's not a, hey, thank you for participating and moving on. It's a, now that we have that as a base, let's do life together. As we dedicated miles, that's exactly what we're talking about, is to do life together, to bring glory to God in that moment. Excuse me. We're also called to baptize, to help people come in and make that public confession. We see that in Acts when Philip walks with the eunuch and explains the testament that he's reading, and the eunuch asks him questions about it, and the response from hearing the good news of the gospel is to be baptized. And so as followers of Jesus Christ, as disciples ourselves, we're called to help those come into that same position, to help baptize them in, to be renewed, to make that public confession. We're called to share the gospel. But what is the gospel? Is it the gospel of Scott? Of Bill? Of Eli? No, in Revelations 14, I want to read again, and please stand with me. Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, and saying with a loud voice, "Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of water." Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, it is your gospel that we seek, the gospel of your Son, Jesus Christ, that we wish to share, to preach to the ends of the world, wherever we find ourselves. For each and every day presents an opportunity to share your love through your Son, Jesus Christ, and the work that he did upon the cross, that we may be made whole and new through his blood, that our debt may be paid, and that we may walk and be called children of God. This is the gospel that we are called, and we pray that you give us the courage and the strength to share it each and every day, to die unto self, that you may be glorified. For it is not about us and our will or our life, but it is about your life that brings salvation. For there is nothing that we can do to save our fellow brothers or sisters. But in the sharing of your gospel and their hearing and accepting of that message, there is everlasting life. And Lord God, let us be bold enough to share that. For it is in your holy name, it is in your life that we may have life. And so we lift you up. We praise you. And Lord God, we love you. In your holy name, amen. Please be seated. So now we've had a little bit of the understanding that we were called to be on mission. Jesus Christ, before he re-entered heaven, and I say re-entered because he was there in the beginning, and we were graced with his presence here on earth, but then he ascended and returned to heaven to be seated on the right hand of the Father. And in that moment, we receive a gift beyond imagination, beyond all understanding, to the point where the world calls it foolishness to trust something you can't see, that you can't touch, that you can't manipulate, that you can't have a say in. And the world tells us that that's craziness. But the fact of it is that is the strength of it, is because the world can't touch it, because the world can't screw it up, it is perfect. And this is the gospel we're called to share each and every day. It's the gospel that we are gifted to be able to share because we understand it in the everlasting life that we have in our faith in Jesus Christ. And because of the touching of the Holy Spirit, we have a deeper understanding of it. And so you understand through Jesus Christ's words to go and make disciples, to baptize them, to be a witness throughout all the lands wherever you find yourself traveling. And while, yes, some people are called to travel and be witnesses or missionaries to specific places as they pray and they get called into that, Jesus wasn't specifically talking about only those situations. He's talking about being that witness in Jerusalem, in Portage, in Columbia County, or put your hometown wherever you live. And so there's no question that we are called to live a life on mission, to be sharing the gospel with those people as we go through. And now we come to understand that mission is to go and make disciples, not simply bring people to an understanding or saying that, hey, I accept Jesus Christ. That's evangelism. And yes, there are people who are called to evangelize, to go through and share the word, but there better be another disciple to walk along that person once they come in, because otherwise we're not doing them any service. In fact, we're probably setting them up for failure, because the feeling and the emotion will eventually fall away. The excitement in baptism, and most of us can probably attest to this, wanes after time if we don't fuel it, if we don't continue to feed it through the word and through the service in Christ's name. And so we have to be more diligent. We have to understand that we were called to make disciples, not just converts, but disciples. People who are following Jesus Christ, who are dedicating their life to Jesus Christ and seeking what God's purpose is in their life. We understand that mission is to share a specific story, not our story, but God's story. And now our story walks within God's story, most definitely. And sometimes the most powerful witness and testimony you can give is how God has affected your life and how in answering that call that God has given you, it has changed your life. I have no complaints, I have no arguments, and I have nothing against adding your personal story into the testimony. But if God is void inside of it, it's just another good story. Because we hear it all the time, what works for you is fine, but it hasn't worked for me. But see, in Jesus Christ, he works in all. He changes all hearts when they open up to him. And so we must share the true gospel and make sure that we're sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ and not any of the other gospels that have slowly crept their way into the world. Christ is not your contract man. He's not here to turn you into a rich person or a person who is totally blessed in all the material things in the world. That isn't it. So set the prosperity gospel aside. And he's not your feel good. He can be. But just because you're not feeling good doesn't mean he's not there. And just because you're having an off day doesn't mean that Christ's love and his protection isn't upon you. See, you have to grow your relationship past the emotional aspect and into a true relational aspect to understand who Christ is and to understand what and how he works inside our lives. See, that can only work for a person. That can only start if we share the true gospel with a person. If we make God the highlight, if we glorify God first and foremost. And then the final one that we talked about, that mission, is to be a witness. And we do that with our life each and every day. That's our Bible study on Wednesday nights right now. Now is looking at who we are in Christ, that we may live a genuine life in Jesus Christ, that just the very fact of who we are is a witness to the love and the strength of Christ in a life. So now that we have that, we were called to be on mission, and we have an understanding of what mission is, now the hard one. Now the one that will probably get a lot of you sitting there going, Pastor, you're just too hard today. I can't believe you gave that message. That was really mean. I want you to turn to John chapter 15. In verses 1 through 11. These are Jesus' words as he's speaking to the disciples, to those who are following him. He reads, I am the true vine. And my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch could not bear fruit of itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. We love the sections where Jesus loves you all the time. It's really easy for us to hear those. But here we have a pretty direct understanding that unless we abide in the commands that he has given us, unless we carry his love with us each and every day, and unless we abide in him and his words, we can do nothing. In fact, not even that we can't do anything, but we won't bear fruit. And if we don't bear fruit, he will pluck us from the vine and we will be burned in the fire. Yeah, I want to let that sit for a few seconds. There's going to be some other verses in the next couple of weeks that we're going to have to deal with that are pretty harsh. And they seem to have fallen away from our discourse and our understanding because they're hard to deal with. They make us feel uncomfortable as we sit before them because now I can't just come to church and show up and just take it in and be fed. I have to understand that that feeding is for a purpose. So if you come into a house and you grab a bunch of food and you sit down at the couch and you eat, and that's your routine every day, I come home, I sit down, I grab food and I eat. The next day, I come home, I grab food, I sit down and eat. What happens? You get fat. I think I need to get up more. You get fat, you get sick, you get lazy. Everything starts to seep in. All the bulk, brokenness, all the ugliness, all the disease starts to creep in through it all. But what happens when you come home? You grab a little bit of food to feed you, give you some energy, and then you go out and you start doing stuff. Whether it's yard work, whether it's going and working out, whether it's going for a run. Suddenly your body starts feeling better. You start growing, you start getting stronger, you start being able to go for longer. You're not as tired as often, and pretty soon the foods that were tasty suddenly don't appeal so much, but only good food does because you start liking the way you feel. It's the same thing with Jesus Christ. If all you do is you all come in here and you sit down and you get fed each and every day, but you never go and you put it in effect, you never take it and go use it, you never take the energy that God is fueling you with to go do the mission he's called you for, to go make disciples, to share and witness with people, it can become a disease just like anything else. It becomes legalism. Because suddenly now you think you have all the answers and you're really quick to point out that this person's broke here or they aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing. But at the end of the day, all you're doing is wreaking havoc and hurting people. Instead, if you take that feeding that you receive today or in your devotions during the week and you go and you share that with someone else and you break it up and you share the wealth that God has given you inside his word, inside his hope, then lo and behold, you're healthy and the next person's healthy and we are starting to share that love of Christ. Jesus is so clear with his disciples about this fact that if you take this and go do it, good things will happen. You'll have fruit. You will see things. And we do. If we read the book of Acts, we see huge multiplication of the church because every one of them understood this message. That if you are in Jesus Christ, if you are blessed with that message upon your heart, that you are accepted into the family of God through faith in Jesus Christ, and you go and you take that and you share that genuinely, you witness and you disciple others and what that means, then lo and behold, fruit will come. And the beauty is as that's happening, God will come in and he'll start plucking out the brokenness that's still there. He'll start pruning it so you become more and more effective. But what happens to the branch is it sits there and doesn't ever produce anything. It gets clipped and it gets thrown into the fire. This is why we must live on mission. As a church, as individuals, that is the fruit. A life that goes and does what it's called to do. That is the fruit. It's not how many you bring to Christ, that number means absolutely nothing in God's eyes. It's the fact that you obediently and faithfully walk and do what he has called you to do, to go make disciples, to baptize, to be a witness until the ends of the earth, and to share the gospel, the true gospel of Jesus Christ. And yes, that means that you have to put yourself out there, and this isn't an unusual message in this church. In fact, I preach it probably to the point of boredom some days. But it's because without it, there will be no growth. There will be no pruning. You won't be made better. You can't expect to sit there and listen to God's message and deny it and expect him to continue to bless your life. Because Jesus says that's not what's going to happen. You can hear the words all you want. Unless you put them into action, unless you go and you answer the call that he has given you, he'll prune you out. Not prune you up, but he'll prune you off the vine. And he'll throw you to the fire. Now, salvation isn't in works, and we need to make that clear. And that's not what we're talking about. Salvation is in our faith in Jesus Christ. But true faith is evidenced by a life that follows the Master. True life is that which answers the call that Christ has given us. And the beauty is when we do it, when we go out and we start sharing that, that's why it feels so good to go out on mission and help people or to feed people at a food pantry. And that's why we love doing those things. But we have to bring the gospel with it. But when we go out and we share Christ's love and when we share the story of Jesus Christ with people and we engage in that way, we feel awesome. Why? Because we just had a big plate of the most healthy food we could have. We've been fed above and beyond, because everything that we've come here to be fed, everything that we have learned in our mind suddenly becomes application. It starts working, and now it's not just fat collecting our bones, but now it's the energy going out of us, and we feel great doing it. You've all experienced that. You've been doing that exercise, and you're working up that good sweat, or you're working hard that day, and you get down at the end of the day, and you're exhausted. You get done running that marathon, or you work that 12, 14-hour day in the 90-degree heat with the high humidity, and you're just drained, but at the end of the day, you look back, and you see what you've accomplished, and you've seen what you've gotten done, and you feel good about it. It's the same thing with our mission, and it's the same thing with answering God's call. Yes, it's hard. Yes, it's scary. Yes, it's difficult sometimes, and yes, people are going to laugh at you occasionally. There's going to be hardship in it. There are going to be difficulties in it. But at the end of the day, when you look back and you see that one person that asked an extra question because they truly had a genuine concern for what you were talking about, or inquisitiveness inside of their head that maybe started to plant a seed that is going to bring them to Jesus Christ down the line, and you will feel refreshed. All too often, we look at the difficulties and sit there and get mad at God instead of understanding that's the pruning. He's sharpening you. He's making you better. He's creating something stronger in the process. John 15, verse 4, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. These are my parting words for today. If you do not return to Christ, if you do not abide in Jesus Christ, he cannot abide in you. It's a relationship. We must surrender ourselves and abide in him that he may come and live in us, that we may be touched and blessed by the Holy Spirit, that we may be empowered and strengthened to go and do the mission that he has called us to do. And I want you to remember that those who answered that call, and we still see the stories today as we go through life and we read about missionaries throughout the world, the amazing and the extraordinary things that they go through that is unhuman, supernatural, because they've answered the call and they've been empowered by the Holy Spirit. In Acts, we have count after count where miraculous things happened because Jesus Christ's gospel is being given by obedient followers of Jesus Christ who are on mission and answering the call that was given to them. Do you want to feel God in your life? Then answer his call, and he will show up big time. You wonder why you don't have God in your life, or you feel like he's not very loud in your life some days? Start asking yourself some of these questions. Am I answering his call? Am I abiding in him daily? And if either one of those come up as a no, then yes, there's your answer. He's not in your life because you're not bringing him into your life. You're not opening that door. You're not abiding in him, and you're not answering the call that he's given you. For he is our master. He has paid the debt that we had incurred that we may have something that we don't deserve. That's eternal life. But he's given us a call, sent us on a mission that we may share what we have received with everybody in the world, that they may feel the same hope and joy each and every day of their lives as we do. And when we take up that call, when we walk out on mission, when we're on point, each and every one of our days, each and every one of those moments in each one of those days, he is with us, abiding in us, ensuring that fruit will come. River of life, guests, Christians, answer the call. Feel the presence of Christ in your life. For when we live a life of worship, in deep prayer, and on mission, miraculous things will happen. Amen. Thank you.